Yes, Hare Krishna. I'm sorry for the delay. Just I wasn't very well prepared today with certain things. So welcome everyone, and I'll try to reduce this conference call volume. So welcome everyone to session 6 of this wonderful session that we're all doing together on the qualities of a woman, bhakti, womanhood, and homemaking, and how it's very important. We've covered some very interesting topics so far. And we've covered topics on, why we're doing this seminar to, what are the varnashram duties of a woman, to why those duties have been designed and how, our psychophysical nature fits perfectly well with those devotees, with those duties. And if we do those duties nicely, then we will make spiritual advancement. And so today we will see this one, like we've discussed last week, last 2 weeks we discussed this very important duty of motherhood for women. And today we're going to talk about this important duty of wifehood for a woman and what that is. And so the topic we chose today is the Bhakti Wife, a High Impact Spiritual Change Agent. And usually we've heard that the husband is the guru and the one who gives the overall direction to the family life. And the wife is one who takes care of the details on how to execute those instructions. But a wife is also, and she can do that when she is submissive to her husband and she follows the husband, because it's the overall psychology of the man and the woman. So if the man likes to be superior, so if the woman, through her feminine nature, is able to give him that place, then he automatically feels inspired to lead. And therefore, there are these things around soft spoken and being submissive and all of that. But that does not mean that a woman cannot exercise her cannot voice her opinion, and also how through her feminine nature she can very delicately, very diligently, and very intelligently guide the husband to become a very good leader. So one time we were discussing this very nice topic with Hari Vilas Prabhu, and he was talking about these powerful feminine qualities. And one of the very important things that he mentioned was that a woman must, instead of us getting disappointed with with our husbands and things like that, we have to understand our role is not that we get disappointed. Rather, our role is like a sculptor. So you have this raw piece of rock and a very good quality rock. And through your feminine qualities and through your feminine nature and through your spiritual, your own spiritual advancement and focus, how you can gradually chisel and gradually, convert that rock into a very beautiful sculpture. So something for you to consider, a change of role. Instead of waiting for our husbands to change, we have to realize we are their change agents. And the reason we want to be change agents is not because so that they can make more money and bring it in the house, or they can satisfy our desires for sense gratification more and more. But the reason we do this is so that we can receive, we can encourage and guide them, to the fulfillment and of perfection of their lives also, which is spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna, and help them engage it fully in Krishna's service. And when they do that, and then they're able to also lead the entire family, including us, into that high road. So we'll discuss some of these things today. And before we go into a lot of details, we'll first try to understand the male and female principles in this world. Even the Chinese have this thing called yin and yang. And the way we understand in Sanatan Dharma, in the Vedic culture, or in the Aryan culture, you may say, is male and female principles in this world are basically coming from the basic concepts of Purusha and Prakriti. So we have Purusha and Prakriti. So there is considered, in the spiritual sense, there is only one supreme person, and he is, there's only one supreme person. And he is Supreme Purusha, and he is the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna himself. And everyone else, all the souls that are there in this entire universe and all the different universes and in the spiritual world, they are all considered as Prakriti. So Purusha is only one, Krishna. And Prakriti is everyone else, all of us, men, women, you know, and all the souls in different bodies of different species, etc. And we are all meant for service to Krishna. So Krishna is the object of service for the Prakriti that is engaged in servitude towards the Purusha. And he is independent. Krishna is supremely independent. He is supremely autonomous because he is the cause of all causes. He is the supreme controller, proprietor, enjoyer, everything, right? And so he is completely independent and autonomous. But the Prakriti, which is all of us, Jivas, we are subservient to the Lord. And we are dependent and we are completely subordinate to the Lord, right? We cannot say we are independent of the Lord. No, we think we are independent. But as we are progressing in spiritual life, we realize how much we are dependent upon the Lord and His mercy for everything, for every aspect of our sustenance, right? So this is a concept that is there in all understanding of Vaishnavism. And Srila Prabhupada has explained this very nicely throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam and throughout so many different lectures. But we refer to, the canto, third canto, 25th chapter, 11th verse. And also a lecture from September 4th, 1966. So we have to understand that whether we are in male bodies or we are in female bodies, we are all Prakriti when we consider ourselves in relationship to the Supreme Purusha. And then the Prakriti has different qualities. The Jivas, who are eternal servants of the Lord, have very wonderful and very beautiful qualities. And those qualities are of tolerance, patience, forbearance, constantly engaged in service, subservience, complete faith on the Lord, being soft-spoken, and the different qualities that Krishna has mentioned in the devotee, in the Bhagavad Gita, the more we follow those, more we go further in the path of Bhakti Yoga, the more we develop those qualities and we become more and more situated in this nature of Prakriti, of being a servant of the Lord. So now, we are all Prakriti, but when we come to this material world, we all get these different bodies. So we get these bodies of either male bodies or female bodies. And also in different species, but we're not talking about different species right now. We're talking about, the 400,000 human species, and we're talking about the dharma associated with that. So when we come to this material world, we end up seeing a lot of, different things within ourselves. Based on our bodies and based on our based on the bodies that we have, we get a certain type of psychophysical nature, right? And we've discussed that at length in the second, third, fourth, fifth sessions, and we'll continue discussing that, right? But we especially saw a lot of gender differences in, how our brain operates and how our bodies operates in session 2 and 3. So based on that, we have certain roles. So when we take birth in this material world, we either come in the form of and if we get birth in a human form, then we get either like a male body or a female body. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted. Sometimes the drivers stop working, and then I'm not sure if you all are able to see anything. Yes, I think so. So based on how we come in this material world, we get either the body of a Purusha, the male, or a female body. Now, when we come to this material world, so depending upon whether we get the male body or the female body, we end up following the roles of Purusha and Prakriti. So those who are in the male bodies, they act as more independent, autonomous, as husbands. They define themselves through terms of I, through their career, security and status. And they assume the role of being the proprietor, being the provider and being the leader of the family. Just like Krishna is the leader of the entire Kutumba. Right? But on the other hand, when we come in a female body, we come as Prakriti. So we come as dependent and subordinate to the man, or we come as a wife. And we tend to define ourselves more in terms of mine, of belonging to the husband, just like the soul belongs to the Lord. Similarly, when we get this material body of a woman, we define ourselves more in relationship to the Purusha, that is to the male function. So just repeating, when it's Purusha and Prakriti, the Lord and the Jivas, but when we come to this material realm, all the Jivas, depending upon the type of bodies they get, they assume the role of Purusha and Prakriti. So the Purusha will be like a mini controller, mini proprietor, mini enjoyer, like that. And the Prakriti will be subservient to the Purusha. And also the man defines himself in terms of their position in society, like that. So like, you know, an example is when a man cooks outside, like he's known as a chef. But when a woman cooks in the house, it's part of her domestic activities and part of her expression of love. So again, it's subservient for the woman, and for the male, it is more like identity and what I'm trying to do. So these also Srila Prabhupada has explained. And because when we come like that, we try to imitate the divine play of love that is between the Supreme Soul, that is Lord Shri Krishna, and the devotees. So that we assume as male and female role here, then someone assumes the role of Purusha, the enjoyer, and someone assumes the role of Prakriti, the giver of the joy. And so basically we get these two very different natures in a male and a female body, very different from each other, and were simultaneously attracted to each other because they complement each other, right? And in a proper environment, they complement each other, right? So this is how we get these kind of roles. And as I got this from a nice article, which was written by an anonymous person. And that lady says, in any case, even though all of us are feminine souls with a masculine mindset, and although we are, so you get this point, actually everyone is Prakriti, but they're trying to be Purusha, right? So in a male body, you get a bigger opportunity to be Purusha. In a female body, you still maintain some feminine qualities. But now all of us, even female body people, are trying to develop this thing of I want to be the controller, proprietor and enjoyer, right? And that's why we are there in this material world. And although we all try to enjoy in the world as a master and as the center, you know, and because of that, we all want to be masters and centers. We continuously take birth. But again, we have to understand, still in the play of this male versus female, you know, this complementary nature, our activities are little different, because the male is an imitation of the Purusha principle and the female is in the imitation of the Prakriti principle. And based on that, we have duties that are defined. And when we do those duties nicely, we attain full perfection. So today when we talk about this wifehood, we will talk about it in relationship with this Prakriti principle and how, if we stick to the timeless qualities that have been defined for a wife, then we can achieve all success in our spiritual endeavors. And we will see how actually it is beneficial to be in a position of a woman. So the purpose of household dharma is when this Purusha and this Prakriti, this male and female, come together, then basically the idea is not to enjoy in a sensuous way, and to have a big house and to have a big car and to look beautiful and to stay young and to go on vacation and to do all of those things. The idea is not, you know, that emotional sense. The idea of this Purusha and Prakriti coming together is that how can they cooperate and create an environment very conducive to spiritual advancement in their homes, so that they can completely come out of the self-centeredness that I am Purusha, I am Prakriti, or even, you know, I am male, female, but we all want to be the controllers. But how, by following our roles, we can come out from this place of wanting to be controller to actually becoming subservient to the Lord. So a man through his defined duties can become subservient through the Lord, and a woman through her defined duties can become subservient to the Lord. This is a little complex, but as we go further, we will understand. So just remember one thing, male and female principle is like Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha is the Supreme Lord, Prakriti is the Jiva that is subordinate to the Lord. When we come to this world, we assume these different roles of Purusha and Prakriti, male principle, female principle. The reason we come together is not to enjoy together, but the reason we come together is so that we can encourage each other in create an environment conducive to spiritual life and go back home, back to Godhead. And for that, Varnashram Dharma, which we have already discussed in an earlier session, has certain duties and responsibilities defined. Now, we were discussing that a woman, if she follows the Dharma that is defined for her, it automatically helps her develop all the qualities that are needed for spiritual development. So women have a natural advantage, because one thing is, we are all actually Prakriti. And when she gets this body, this woman's body, then, you know, we have to follow the role of Prakriti in material nature also. So if we follow our duties sincerely, then automatically we are protected from this Purushai bhav, that I am the controller, I am the proprietor. And because we are protected from developing that kind of Purushai bhav, but we are already in a submissive and subservient position, and in the place of serving and caring for others, we naturally develop the qualities of a very good servant of the Lord also. So we don't have to change our nature so much. You know, whatever psychophysical nature we are in, and if we follow the ashram, the dharma that is given in our varnashram dharma for a woman, then it is natural. So if you see in Srimad Bhagavatam in various places, the service of a disciple towards the spiritual master is compared to the service of a chaste wife to her husband. And you will see it is explained in this pastime of Queen Vaidarbhi and Malayadhvaja in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And how it's very allegorical the way it's explained over there, and also Srila Prabhupada's purports are very powerful. But the way in which Queen Vaidarbhi serves Malayadhvaja while she is his wife, and also when King Malayadhvaja has left his body, is compared to the activities of a disciple serving the guru. And then when the husband departs, it's compared to after the guru departs, how does the disciple continue serving the word and instruction of the guru and being chaste to the guru? And also all these services that we do in our house of cooking, cleaning, and things like that, they are compared to the service of a devotee in a temple of the Lord, right? For us, these activities are natural because we take care of these activities. And finally, all of us have to serve the Supreme Lord. So if we are able to serve our husbands, seeing them as representatives of the Lord, and together with our husbands, if we are able to keep Krishna in the center and serve the Lord nicely, then we are able to make very good advancement in our spiritual life. And also this act of raising children is like the disciple of a guru going and preaching Krishna consciousness to many souls, because finally you are delivering souls, whether you are going outside and preaching or you are guiding your children very nicely in the spiritual path. Finally, it is preaching. So in that sense also, it is a service of a devotee in a disciple, in a temple, service of a preacher. And this chastity that we develop towards the husband, and chastity is not just, having only one husband and being attracted to only one person in our life. It means a lot of things. It means all these different qualities of a woman. That is also compared to the chastity of a disciple towards the guru and of a devotee towards Lord Shri Krishna, where they have only one master and they consider only the word of only one master. So why we are bringing these things up is when you develop these qualities of a woman, these are natural qualities of a disciple and of a devotee in Krishna consciousness. But you have to not develop these qualities just for the sake of developing these qualities. But if we develop these qualities with this mindset, it is going to help us really propel us and our families, and we'll be very high impact change agents, spiritual change agents for our family. So there are various qualities of women that are described, and they are very similar, as I already discussed, to the qualities that are described of a devotee in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Shri Krishna, and also the 26 qualities of a devotee. So these various qualities of tolerance, submission, patience, etc., they make a woman powerful also beyond measure. So they are natural qualities of a devotee, but they also make a woman powerful beyond measure. And I was just reading this book that I keep referring to all of you, this Chinese book of etiquette and conduct for women and girls by Zhao Pan. I don't know how to say that in Chinese. But here it is mentioned that, all these different qualities are also mentioned in this Chinese book, which has been written maybe 300 or 400 years ago. And, there are things that are mentioned here about a woman's duty to obey her husband, listen with reverence to his words, or smile, or take care, or, help, share, be chaste even when things are going bad, serve the husband, give him what he wants, cook nicely for him. So all of these things actually help us in, developing these qualities of a disciple towards the Lord, devotee towards the Lord. And then this book talks about how there are these virtues that must be cultivated by a woman in the Chinese culture also. And it says to be pure and upright in morals, to be pure, clean inside and outside. So, and then it says, chastity is your body's glory. Having it, all your acts will shine. So this is not just coming from Sanatan Dharma, where people say, oh, they did all this to oppress women, but this is also coming from Chinese culture. Chastity is your body's glory. Having it, all your acts will shine. When walking, look straight, turn not your head. Talking, restrain your voice. Standing, keep quiet your skirts when pleased, and things like that. So many different things are there, you know, of these different virtues. And it, in the end, this chapter says, following virtue, decorum and uprightness, you so accomplish the end of your being. So again, this Chinese book is also telling that if a woman follows her qualities, then she can achieve the ultimate success in life. So it is not a disadvantageous position, as the feminist movements and all this propaganda is making us to believe. It's actually a very powerful position if we can do our role nicely. And the more we do our role nicely, the more we will understand we are spirit soul, not this body. So we will have lesser and lesser identification with a woman's body, which can sometimes be difficult because we identify with our body so much, and there is so much emphasis on looking beautiful. That, you know, in a woman's body, the only disadvantage is that the bodily consciousness can be very high if a woman is not properly spiritually guided. Because, you know, we are more this thing into looking beautiful and more connected with our bodies and things like that. So anyway, just to understand this, this is not a disadvantage. Actually, it is a very good position of strength if we can understand things properly. So let's look at what are the instructions of Narad Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam from the 7th canto of the activities of a chaste woman. So today we will consider some of them in the interest of time. But the remaining few sessions that are left will cover all these different instructions of Narad Muni. So he says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he's talking to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And when he's talking to Yudhishthir Maharaj, he's already talked chapters and chapters, verses and verses of how society should operate, how the four different varnas should operate, how the king should behave, how all of these different entities, brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, how a grastha man should behave. And most of these different things that are mentioned are actually duties for women. He only mentions these four verses as duties for women. And he says to render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed towards the husband, to be equally well disposed towards the husband's relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband. These are the four principles to be followed by women described as chaste. A chaste woman must dress nicely and decorate herself with golden ornaments for the pleasure of her husband. Always wearing clean and attractive garments, she should sweep and clean the household with water and other liquids so that the entire house is always pure and clean. She should collect the household paraphernalia and keep the house always aromatic with incense and flowers, and must be ready to execute the desires of her husband. Being modest and truthful, controlling her senses and speaking in sweet words, a chaste woman should engage in the service of her husband with love according to time and circumstances. A chaste woman should not be greedy, but satisfied in all circumstances. She must be very expert in handling household affairs and should be fully conversant with religious principles. She should speak pleasingly and truthfully and should be very careful and always clean and pure. Thus, a chaste woman should engage with affection in the service of a husband who is not fallen. So, see, there is protection for women also. So, Prabhupada in that purport explains what the description of a fallen husband. So, someone who is not following the four regulative principles, and who's not, and you know, fallen husband is not someone who gets upset or someone who has a temper problem or someone who has an attitude problem. You know, fallen husband is one who is not following the four regulative principles. So there is protection given in that sense also, because finally, it is not about, you know, the reason we do all these services is also so we advance spiritually. But if the object of her service, which is her husband in the household, of course it is Lord Shri Krishna, but you know, we serve the husband also, is fallen, then there is no point in executing those kind of qualities. But what is the definition of fallen? It has become, you know, more like a sense thing now. That, oh, if you satisfy my senses, then you are not fallen. But if you don't satisfy my senses, then I'm going to divorce you. No, that's not what Narad Muni is telling. Narad Muni is only talking about extreme cases here, where, you know, the husband's attitude, mindset is against the four regulative principles of no, and there is no And it's in an extreme case also, where they are completely, you know, developing a very harsh nature and things like that. And it's becoming troublesome, completely troublesome for the woman to make any spiritual advancement. But anyway, such leaving of the husband and decision of whether the husband is fallen or not is not a woman's individual decision, because we can make decisions based on our minds and our feelings. But we have to make decisions based on what Guru, Sadhu and Shastra say. So in those cases, consultation is important. And then in text 29, Narad Muni says, the woman who engages in the service of her husband, following strictly in the footsteps of the goddess of fortune, surely returns home back to Godhead with her devotee husband and lives very happily in the Vaikuntha planets. Now one may say, oh, what if my husband is not a devotee? But one time Harivilas Prabhu was telling us, when we had started these, you know, when the group of ladies had started these different women's programs, and he said that, you know, I expressed a concern that, Prabhu, a lot of women may come, but their husbands may not follow in Krishna consciousness. Then what is their hope? And Prabhuji said that, you know, why did Lord Sri Krishna come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani 500 years ago? The reason he came is that when he was seeing Radharani and he was seeing she was in so much ecstasy in serving him and in taking, you know, in serving the Lord, he wanted to experience that ecstasy and joy himself. And so he decided to come as a devotee like Radharani and experience the ecstasy Radharani was seeing. So when we don't have husbands who are devotees or who are interested in such a path, but when they see that how by following this process of bhakti yoga, we are making spiritual advancement, we are developing wonderful qualities, and we are always blissful, we are tolerant, we are patient, we are perseverant, and we are so ecstatic all the time, that the husband will feel inspired to again to see what the wife is experiencing. So let me also experience this. So let me follow her and let me also follow this spiritual path. So if you engage in the service, if you follow this role of a wife nicely, at one level it is developing the same qualities of a disciple towards the guru or of a chaste devotee of the Lord and these principles of chastity, and we also develop these qualities of a devotee. So when you do that, and because you are following the dharma that Krishna has given to you, Krishna is pleased with you and your path back to Godhead is confirmed, because you are trying to do all of these things with the right understanding and not that why should I do, not like that. Because this is Krishna has given these duties to you. These duties were not created by some people who wanted to oppress you. These duties were given to you by Lord Shri Krishna. So now there are these different things. So now Narad Muni, we have these four shlokas. We will cover some of the points today. And regarding, you know, the other aspects that he has covered, we will cover those in the subsequent sessions. And we will, in when we go to those subsequent sessions also, we will keep connecting back to which verse we are talking about. So here we are talking about how when a woman is conversant with religious principles and how when she keeps her husband pleased, then how she can keep him inspired in his dharma and in his service to the Lord. So we'll see some nice quotations from Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's purports related to that. So how does she keep her husband inspired? So we in the fifth canto, no, sorry, this is from the, this is not from the fifth canto, this is from the fourth canto. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's from the fourth canto, 25th and 26th chapters. So I think I'm a little messed up with my slides. Okay, anyway, I know what we're talking about. So in the fourth canto, 25th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, or maybe let's talk about Maharaj Priyavrat first. So here we have the example of Maharaj Priyavrat given from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Maharaj Priyavrat was a person who had, he was a son of one of the Banus, and he wanted to live an austere life as a celibate monk, meditating in the mountains. But because of certain situations, Narad Muni had to invite him back from meditating in the mountains to come and take control of the kingdom. So Maharaj Priyavrat was not a willing grihastha or a householder or a willing king, but he was doing his duties nicely. So when Maharaj Priyavrat was in the Kshatriya Varna, and he used to, you know, deal with a lot of political intrigue, a lot of these different kinds of things like, dealing with all different types of people, all different types of political challenges, protecting the borders, dealing with the administration, dealing with all types of people and protecting the kingdom, protecting the people, guiding people to spiritual life and everything, all of those things, right? So when he would come to his house, when he would come back to the palace, his wife would encourage him in a certain way. And that is being described in the fifth canto. And that is there here that Prabhupada gives. Basically, the verse says that how the queen would take care of him. And here we are reading Prabhupada's purports. Prabhupada says, Maharaj Priyavrat strictly maintained Varnashram Dharma by his extraordinary unparalleled prowess. To maintain such a life of strict vigilance, one needs encouragement from his wife. So he was doing all these intense duties, but to be able to do all of that, he needs the encouragement of his wife. In the Varnashram Dharma system, certain classes such as the Brahmanas and the Sannyasis, the renounced order, do not need encouragement from the opposite sex. Kshatriyas and Grihasthas, however, actually need the encouragement of their wives in order to execute their duties. Indeed, a Grihastha or Kshatriya cannot properly execute the affairs. So, the association of a good wife is necessary in a life of karma and political affairs to execute his duties properly. Therefore, Maharaj Priyavrat took advantage of his good wife Barhishmati, who was always very expert in pleasing her great husband, by properly dressing herself, smiling and exhibiting her feminine bodily features. Now, exhibiting her femininely bodily features does not mean, in the sense of the way we understand right now, like the way she is, like undressing herself and, not being properly covered. No, that's not what it means. Exhibiting her feminine bodily features means like behaving like a female and being that loving, caring person, taking care of the needs of the husband. So Queen Barhishmati always kept Maharaj Priyavrat very encouraged, and thus he executed his governmental duty very properly. So after he is dealing with so many, so much politics and so many opponents and so many different things, when the person comes home, he's dealing with a lot of passion and ignorance outside. But when he comes home, if the wife is situated in the mode of transcendental goodness and she is very happy to receive him, take care of him, she is properly dressed, it pacifies the mind. So when your house is beautifully decorated, it's clean, and the wife is also in a pleasing mood, it automatically pacifies the mind of the man when he is outside. Now, nowadays, of course, both men and women are working, and both men and women are dealing with this mode of ignorance and passion outside. So what happens is, when they both come home, there is nobody there to pacify them or to take care of them. And therefore this, the atmosphere remains tense and the mind never becomes calm. And, that kind of mode of passion and ignorance continues. So people, when they are in that kind of mode, then they are not able to think about when the mode of passion and ignorance continues, they're not able to think about the higher purpose of life in that kind of mindset. But, the whole material civilization is reversed right now, because people are measuring the success of their life at the end of their life by how much money they made or what social status they have. But in the past days, these things were taken care of because it was very important for a person to remain in goodness, because that was a good springboard for them to go towards Lord Shri Krishna, to develop transcendental goodness. So therefore, if the male and female roles were properly followed like that with a spiritual focus, then both parties made a lot of advancement. Okay, and we will talk about a lot of these things, how taking care of the house, beautifying the house, keeping the house clean, cooking meals, everything, how scientifically and spiritually it helps us in our spiritual growth, and it helps our entire families in our spiritual growth. So here Barhishmati knew that science, and she took care of her husband nicely. And now another quality, so one quality we read is a bhakti wife will keep her husband always encouraged and inspired. So sometimes even the man may make a lot of mistakes outside, right? And he may be getting a lot of chastisement outside. But if he comes home to the woman and the woman is compassionate towards him, he has a place again to come back to his, place of strength in the house. And then he can again go back and take action the next day. But if the home itself is like a war zone and the woman is not there to give that feminine touch, or that, the feminine energy is not there to pacify the male energy, then it just continues in the same way. So another thing a very important role that a woman does is she a bhakti wife, basically a woman who's properly spiritually situated. She protects her husband from his lower nature. And this is also there in the third canto, 14th chapter, 20th verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. As a fort commander very easily conquers invading plunderers, by taking shelter of a wife, one can conquer the senses which are unconquerable in the other social orders. So Srila Prabhupada writes down, so the wife is being compared to as a fort here. And Srila Prabhupada writes down in this particular purport that how the bodily senses are considered plunderers of the fort of the body. The wife is supposed to be the commander of the fort. And therefore, whenever there is an attack on the body by the senses, it is the wife who protects the body from being smashed. The sex demand is inevitable for everyone. But one who has a fixed wife is saved from the onslaught of the sense enemies. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is talking. So wife is compared like a fort. So when a man goes to his lower nature of, you know, his lower gross, you know, these carnal needs, sexual needs, then a woman actually protects him. So one thing is to protect him from his lower nature itself is that when the man comes from work and the house is kept properly, the woman is in a peaceful mood and all. Automatically, because the man is not in the mood of passion and ignorance, automatically these desires don't come. Also on the other hand, just in case those desires are there, then the woman is there to help the man direct that energy. Otherwise, he can become a disturbance in the entire world. So that is another very important role of the woman, where she protects the man. And also, if the woman is very elevated spiritually herself, and she is spiritually focused, then even if she is there as a feminine energy to inspire the man and to take care of him nicely, but because she is elevated spiritually and she keeps herself chaste and properly covered and Krishna conscious, then also it is another way to protect the husband from going down to his lower nature. Automatically those desires don't come. So it is also, this is also a very important function. So usually a woman is described as an entity that attracts the man and pulls the man down to his lower nature. You know, that is what most of the descriptions are there. And that is true for a woman who is not spiritually situated. But if a woman is chaste, like, and has all the qualities Narad Muni has described, and she is Krishna conscious, she can keep her husband's mind peaceful, she can protect him like a fort, and she can guide him to his higher nature. And we will see that how. So it's very important. Otherwise, grihastha life can just become about making more money and, you know, having many kids and, you know, and just, you know, keep enjoying in this material way, in the sensual way. But if we are spiritually minded, then we can guide the husband also like that, just in case he slips sometimes from his spiritual nature. And then that way we protect each other and we go back home, back to Godhead, right? It's like one time, sometimes a wife may be weak, sometimes a husband may be weak. But if both are spiritually minded, they will be there to protect each other. But today we are talking about the element of how a woman can protect her husband and keep him inspired like that. And then we also have this thing about this good intelligence, right? So we talked about how she keeps her husband inspired, how she protects him from his lower nature, and how a good wife means good intelligence. So now we have these pastimes from the 4th canto, 26th and 25th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam on King Puranjana. So King Puranjana, we were telling this story to the, you know, younger teenage girls of our congregation when we did this seminar, Is Dating for Me. So King Puranjana got married to this woman he met in a forest. He was very attracted to her beauty, so he got married. And then he was attracted to her based on the beauty aspect, you know, the sensual aspect, not on the spiritual aspect. He did not see that woman and think, wow, she's so spiritually elevated, I must get married to her, because then she will give proper, you know, she will keep the, you know, the spiritual sanctity and the Krishna-centeredness of the household life intact. No, he just got married to her, he got attracted to her. And then one time, because, you know, the attraction started waning, you know, usually these marriages that are based on attraction, a physical attraction, the attraction will wane after some time. You know, the curiosity and the attraction wanes after some time. Then what can really carry you forward is your you know, your spiritual values and your Krishna consciousness together in a marriage. But if it's just based on attraction, you know, the attraction will wipe out, the marriage will end. So King Puranjana was, you know, he was, of course, he was attracted to his wife, but then he, because he had this enjoying propensity, he wanted to enjoy with other women. So he went out for hunting of animals and also to enjoy other women. So when he came back, he saw his wife was very upset and depressed. And but she was not angry, she was just very quiet. So because, you know, when he comes back, then he is observing, you know, how his wife is feeling so sad and depressed about his nature. So then he says, I do not understand why my household paraphernalia does not attract me as before. I think that if there is neither a mother nor devoted wife at home, the home is like a chariot without wheels. Where is the fool who will sit down on such an unworkable chariot? So there are many things in this particular shloka. So again, you know, we have to keep the house in a certain order. We have to have good prasadam in the house. We have to have good mood. We have to have a good consciousness in the house so that the man can be inspired to continue his role in grihastha life. Otherwise, it's not attractive. They can go away in a different direction. Basically, his role of being the spiritual leader of the family. And at another level, this talks about the how a good wife means good intelligence. And Prabhupada talks here. Actually, a woman is supposed to be the energy of the man. Historically, in the background of every great man, there is either a mother or a wife. One's household life is very successful if he has both a good wife and mother. Now, what does good wife and mother mean? Not just someone who can cook, clean and everything nicely, but one who has the focus of going back home, back to Krishna. And she is spiritually following the principles of Bhakti Yoga that have been given to us by Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas of chanting Hare Krishna and following the four regulative principles, engaging in service to the in the temple, service of the deity, and keeping cooking properly, offering only prasadam to the family members, etc. So once in such a case, everything about household affairs, Prabhupada writes down, and all the paraphernalia in the house becomes very pleasing. So you see, if you have that spiritual focus, and if you do your duties nicely, everything in the household becomes very pleasing in a spiritual way. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had both a good mother and pleasing wife, and he was very happy at home. Nonetheless, for the benefit of the whole human race, he took sannyas and left both his mother and wife. In other words, it is essential that one have both a good mother and wife in order to become perfectly happy at home. Otherwise, home life has no meaning. Unless one is religiously guided by intelligence and renders devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his home can never become very pleasing to a saintly person. So see, if the woman is not spiritually situated, man is not spiritually situated, then there is no point in such a home life. And that home life is not, then when a saintly person comes, that is one of our duties as grihasthas to serve saintly people. So when saintly people come home, then they don't find the atmosphere very pleasing if we are not spiritually minded. And that can come, the spiritual mindedness of the house can also come if the woman is spiritually minded. We don't want to put the entire focus on her. But that is an important role for us to follow. In other words, if a man has a good mother or a good wife, there is no need of his taking sannyas. Why? Because already the home is so Krishna conscious and the wife is aiding the man in his Krishna consciousness. Then both of them can advance spiritually and help themselves and their children and so many others go back home, back to Godhead. Right? But in Lord Chaitanya's case, he did it for the benefit of other people, like that Prabhupada is explaining. And then Puranjana says in the next verse, because he can't find his wife and, you know, he sees she's not here and she's very upset and sad. Then he's asking the maidservants, he's telling, kindly let me know the whereabouts of that beautiful woman who always saves me when I'm drowning in the ocean of danger. By giving me good intelligence at every step, she always saves me. So this husband is realizing the importance of his wife, and Prabhupada writes down, herein we see that King Puranjana was searching after his good wife, who always helped him out of the dangerous situations that always occur in material existence. Right? So many dangerous situations occur in material existence, and the greatest danger is to fall away from the spiritual path. But it seems like his wife was protecting him from that and trying to bring him to that. As already explained, a real wife is Dharma Patni. That is, a woman accepted in marriage by ritualistic ceremony is called Dharma Patni. which signifies that she is accepted in terms of religious principles. The word Dharmapatni also refers to a chaste wife. So chaste means she is following her dharma as a woman, right? Properly. A chaste wife is one who had never had any connection with men before her marriage. So, you know, now all this culture is there of women having different boyfriends and men having different girlfriends, and then finally they choose somebody and they get married. But because the, you know, they've already gone through so many relationships, they're not able to stay committed in the marriage, right? And then Prabhupada is explaining that from how it affects the woman. A chaste wife is one who never had any connection with men before her marriage. Once a woman is given the freedom to mingle with all kinds of men in her youth, it is very difficult for her to keep chaste. So even if she gets married, and even if she's still going to think of, you know, wow, this man looks nice, and, you know, this man is attractive, and, you know, all of those kind of things happen. And also it's very difficult for her to follow the duties that Narad Muni has given, because her interest is not being in Dharmapatni. Her interest is more at the bodily conception of life, like that. But if one gets a chaste wife, accepted through a religious marriage ritual, right? But nowadays people have live-ins. She can be of great help when one is threatened by the many dangerous situations of life. Actually, such a wife can become the source of all good intelligence. With such a good wife, the family's engagement in the devotional service of the Lord actually makes a home a grahastha ashram, a household dedicated to spiritual cultivation. So this is, Srila Prabhupada is explaining all these things so wonderfully here for us. So it is us who, by our spiritual intelligence and devotional service, we can increase the engagement of our family in devotional life and make it a place, an ashram, a resting place that is dedicated to the cultivation of spiritual life. So, but for that, not just cooking, cleaning and everything with Krishna consciousness is important. It is important we also do our sadhana of chanting of 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, following the four regulative principles, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Make all of that also our focus. Otherwise, very quickly, we may, you know, even if we do our duties nicely, it will still be with the material mindset of just pleasing at an emotional or a sensual level and not thinking of those duties and of those services and care that we give to our family members as vehicles for people to advance in spiritual life, right? So when we cook food, we can, you know, and even if we are making and offering it as prasad, you know, offering it to Lord Shri Krishna and then serving the prasad to everyone. But if our consciousness is just about, oh, this is so tasty, it will make my children feel good, and yes, yes, it's also prasad, then, you know, it's going to remain as a service at an emotional and sensual level. But if we say that, you know, I'm cooking this, I'm offering to Krishna, and also that my children develop spiritual intelligence, and that is our focus, then it is a different mindset, right? So we have to continuously keep elevating our own consciousness so that the consciousness of the household increases, right? And that's why you become a high impact spiritual change agent, because you're constantly helping your family members make advancement. And then we are just 50% of the population as women, but we impact 100% of the population. We impact the next generation 100%, and we impact the men, that is the remaining, you know, the current generation, 50% of the population, along with the children and all the establishments, all the countries, all the governments that are ruled by such men and such women and men who are our children. They are, if they are all spiritually advanced, then we are actually helping in the spiritual advancement of the entire planet. So we have to think properly. You know, this feminist movement and everything does not give us so much impact, does not make us such a high impact change agent, even in the material sense. So we have to understand these things very carefully. And Srila Prabhupada has given this to us. And when we follow such qualities, we become powerful beyond measure, right? So, like Gandhari is described as a tapasvini in the first canto, I think is the 10th or 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Dhritarashtra finally realizes that he cannot remain attached and stay in Hastinapur even after the war is over. And, you know, he's been attached all his life, but he needs to cultivate his spiritual consciousness and focus the end days of his life in you know, remembering the Lord. So then this is all under the inspiration of Vidura. And then he leaves along with Gandhari. So at that time it is described that Gandhari, a tapasvini, also follows her husband. And she also achieves perfection. Right? But in that time, she is described as Tapaswini, and Prabhupada explains why she is called as a Tapaswini. So Prabhupada says that because she followed her qualities of being a chaste lady towards her husband very sincerely, so that was the austerity for her, right? The austerity for a woman is to follow the qualities of chastity that are laid down in Shastra for us. That are the qualities that Narad Muni is talking about. And if we follow those qualities, that is the that austerity of ours is equivalent or even more than the austerities a disciple, a brahmachari, a celibate monk undergoes in order to serve the guru, right? So because we have these type of bodies, we are given certain types of austerities. We don't have to compete with men in doing the austerities they do as monks and brahmacharis. If we do our grihastha ashram duties properly with the right spiritual focus, if we remain chaste ladies, if we remain subservient to our husbands, and if we guide them properly also. Subservient does not mean we are not able to voice our opinion or we are not able to guide them. But how you do it like a sculpture, like a sculptor carving a sculpture, like that. Without offending them, without demeaning them, but you can still guide them by inspiring their intelligence in so many different ways through just the household, the prasadam and your own consciousness, right? When you are doing that, that is tapasya actually. See, it is very hard to remain patient, tolerant, all of these things, but you can follow them naturally in your role as a woman in the house, as we've already discussed. So we don't have to follow in becoming some renunciate or some, you know, some sannyasin or brahmacharini. We don't have to do those things just by being chaste in our girlhood. And when we become wives, if we follow these duties, we become like tapasvinis, like Gandhari. We also have that potential if we follow the dharma properly, right? And we follow our guru, sadhu and shastra properly. And she became so powerful, that power that she got when she removed her eye fold and she looked at Duryodhana and she made his body like iron, was not because she had not seen for such a long time and then when she saw, she made him so powerful. That power that she got was because of her following the chastity of a woman. So her husband was like a low-class person, right? He was so attached to, you know, being the king that, you know, the entire war of Mahabharata happened. He did not protect a woman, Draupadi. So many mistakes he did. But she kept guiding him, but she was still chaste towards him. That means she still did her duties towards him. And that is what made her powerful, where she could make the body of her son so protected, like, you know, like iron. And then there is the story of Shilavati. Now, I don't know if this Shilavati is the same Shilavati as the next story I'm going to talk about. I have to verify that. But Shilavati was a maid servant in a certain kingdom. And that kingdom had the king had an elephant that was little sick and injured. So someone told him that if a chaste lady comes and touches this elephant will become full of life and vigor again and completely cured. So he thought his queen was a chaste lady. He called his queen Amrapali. And when she went and touched the elephant, nothing happened to the elephant. And then this king had so many other women in his harem and so many of his queens came and touched the elephant, but nothing happened. Then someone told that one of the maid servants, Shilavati, is an extremely chaste lady and maybe we should call her. And because she knew she was chaste, that means she was always truthful, always pure inside and outside, always subservient to her husband, serving her husband nicely, following the duties of a woman very nicely. When she came and touched the elephant, she knew she would not be embarrassed. Because this is the power that Krishna gives to such a woman who follows her dharma nicely. The elephant was completely cured. And it is also mentioned in the, you know, in our scriptures that when a woman is chaste, as described by Narad Muni, and where her, you know, she has single focus towards her husband and she's not been frivolous with other men, she keeps herself covered, truthful, honest, and, you know, subservient to religious principles and well versed in them also. Then if the weather is very cold and if people are sitting with her in her house, whoever is in her house will feel very warm. And if the weather is very hot, then everyone will feel very cool in her presence. So this is the power we have if we follow our dharma nicely, to even the material elements of earth, water, fire, air and ether will also modify themselves and respond to the chastity of a woman. In a way in which that is beneficial for all the people who are connected to such a chaste lady. Right? So many, and also the wealth and the health of the house, right? If the woman is happy and she's chaste, then the wealth of the house also increases, and the health of the house, we already talked in so many different ways here, is also good. And that is the benediction she has. So you don't have to go and artificially try to control and artificially try to gain power through all these feminist movements and so many different things. If we just follow Krishna's system properly, Krishna has given all these powers to a woman. Krishna has created this system, right? So if we really want, you know, sometimes I see some women, they'll be after their husbands. Oh, how come you're not a director till now? Why are you not a director? You know, look at our peers. They're all directors in big companies. You're not making enough money when they already have like an $800,000 house, and the woman is not satisfied. And then I thought of telling her one time, if you really want your husband to become a director and have more money in the house, just serve him very nicely. You don't have to pester him and make him feel, demean him like that. Just follow your duties nicely. All material conditions will follow. All positive material conditions will follow, so that we can execute our Krishna consciousness nicely. But now we should not get distracted when positive material conditions follow like that. I'm sorry, we're going to be a little over time. And another thing is, like, there is another example of this other Shilavati. I have to check. I think they are the same Shilavati, that one in the elephant description that we gave. But there is another woman in the Puranas, like, that has been described. And it is said that there is no other woman in the Puranas who surpasses Shilavati in her fidelity to her husband. So, in order to enable Ugrashavas, her husband, to satisfy his passion, she once carried him on her own shoulders to a prostitute's house. So her husband had leprosy, I think. He had a disease, or he was invalid, and he wanted to enjoy with a prostitute. And she used to actually carry him everywhere in a basket and take him to the river to wash, take him different places and all. So one time when they were passing by, he wanted to go and he saw a prostitute's house and he wanted to enjoy with her. So Shilavati thought that, you know, she wants to serve her husband nicely. And what she did is that she started growing a lot of flowers around the prostitute's house, and she started cleaning her driveway and so many things very nicely. And after a few days, the prostitute noticed that the garden was around her house was becoming very beautiful. And when she asked who was doing it, she was told it was Shilavati, this lady. So then she approached Shilavati and she said, you know, thank you so much for doing it. Then Shilavati said, I have one request. My husband desires to enjoy with you. And then the prostitute said, you know, you're such a chaste lady at home. How come your husband is not properly? Why is he so misguided? But anyway, the prostitute was, you know, ready to serve him. And then the prostitute served him prasad in her house in a silver plate and a golden plate, the same prasad. And she asked him, what is the difference between the two? And he said, no, it's the same. Then he said that, you know, the spirit soul is the same, so why are you different? Is the same in quality. Why are you differentiating in the body of your wife and the body of me? It's finally, it's just the body. You have such a chaste woman at home. You must, you know, be very, very nice to her, and you must protect her very nicely, and you must take care of her very nicely. So anyway, when they were going there, or while they were going to the prostitute's house also, Mandavya Muni, something happened, and he cursed this person that all the people, Ugrashravas, will die before sunrise. So Shilavati was very concerned that her husband, after enjoying with the prostitute, and then the next night morning, he is going to die. So then, because she was a chaste woman, she curses that, she counter curses, and she says the sun will not rise tomorrow. Now, this is a simple lady, but because of her following her dharma and qualities so nicely, she is so powerful that she's able to control the sun from not rising. And then all the demigods get very disturbed that how is this, you know, how will the affairs of the universe function? So then the Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, they accompany with Anusuya, Atri Muni's wife, and they go to Shilavati. So Anusuya is also considered as a very chaste lady. So a chaste woman like Shilavati can be convinced only by another chaste woman like Anusuya. So Anasuya comes and tells that, hey, you know, we will change this thing, and Mandavya Muni will reduce the curse, and your husband will not die at sunrise tomorrow. And the reason Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh bring Anasuya is because Anasuya is also an extremely chaste lady, and whatever she speaks, she's a truthful. So chastity means she's also truthful, and whatever she speaks will be true. So then Shilavati believes her. And then her husband is saved from the curse, and he's also cured of his disease, and he also starts valuing her based on the advice of the prostitute and also by seeing her power, just by serving her husband nicely with all these different qualities. See, just serving husband is not just enough. We have to serve with all of these qualities and of being a woman. And it's not just like the, you know, service to the husband means this maintaining the duties towards the house, towards the children and so many different things. And she became so powerful, she was able to control the, as again I told you, you know, towards the health. She was able to control the health of her husband and also increase his longevity, right? And so our sweet words, our honesty, our truthfulness, our elevation in spiritual concepts, our sadhana, our doing of these household duties are very beneficial to our household, our children and our husbands, and also in our advancement as spirit souls on our journey to Krishna, as we discussed when we were talking about Purusha and Prakriti, and how being Prakriti in the spiritual and material sense puts us in a very highly advantageous position. So now we may think that, you know, we follow all of these things very nicely, but what about this oppression that comes? You know, we are following these qualities so nicely, but then so many people oppress us. This is not the yuga of being tolerant and humble, because when you are tolerant and humble and you are patient and truthful, people come and exploit you, right? So this is a fact, this is happening, and we must think about ways in which, you know, how we will be, you know, we have to acknowledge that something like this is there in this particular society, like that, right? And why does this oppression happen? Because people, the men who are in the Purusha role, forget that they are supposed to behave as servants of Krishna. They forget that they have an authority higher than them. They start feeling that they are the supreme controller, proprietor and enjoyer. And then they start exploiting the women to satisfy their needs. And similarly, women who are in position of authority over other women, like, you know, in-laws, bosses, relatives, etc. Everyone wants to get this Purushai bhav, you know, this bhav of being a controller. You know, we have forgotten we are Prakriti. Everyone wants to be in this Purushai bhav, even women. So therefore, this also explains why women exploit women. Right? Many times we feel, how come, you know, she cannot understand the pain of a woman? No, because she wants to be the controller. That's why she cannot empathize with you. Right? Many times this will happen. And because of this, it has led to widespread oppression. You know, people are abusing, you know, people are exercising abuse of power by misusing the principles of religion. So it's like, oh, the woman is supposed to be chaste, so I can abuse her in any way, but she is supposed to be chaste. No, it's not like that, right? Then, you know, people don't want to follow those religious principles. So how do we inspire ourselves to follow the religious principles in spite of all this oppression that is abusive? So basically, first we have to gradually understand why it is like that. So we already discussed this one point. You know, they are behaving as Purushas without realizing they are subservient to the Lord, right? And that even if the Lord is supreme controller, he is not abusing anybody. He is actually wonderfully taking care and loving all of us and encouraging all of us to go back to him. So people don't understand that aspect of the role of a Purusha. They only understand the abusive aspect and the controlling aspect. And the second thing is, everyone wants to enjoy sense gratification. Right. So therefore, when you become the controller, it's easier for you to enjoy more sense gratification. Right. Everyone's purpose is that. Nobody's purpose is to follow duty nowadays. And there is a competition for who is supreme. So people can become supreme again by being the controller. Right? So who is a bigger controller? The bigger controller is the one who abuses really well. And so because of all of these things, there is this abuse of power. And then people also want to enjoy freely. But religion kind of restricts. So then people leave religion aside. So they even really leave religion aside. You know, all this feminist movement and these movements, you know, that are there to empower women in that sense, in the wrong sense, are actually done so that they can abuse women more freely. So now this kind of system exists. So what are we going to do about the oppression? So after hearing these stories of, you know, how a woman becomes powerful beyond measure, by following the system and the system of chastity and of this bhakti wifehood, of being that spiritual person in the house, doing her duties nicely. You know, if you are following Krishna's system, if you are following dharma, dharma will protect you. That you have to, we have to develop that in our mind by seeing these different stories that we have said. So we saw these stories not just to prove how a woman becomes powerful, but we also see these stories to show how a woman becomes is protected also by Krishna. And we have seen that in the case, if you look at, we had done this presentation one time, Bhakta Vatsal Krishna, and Krishna's reciprocation with all the different women in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see how Krishna protects, how he has protected Draupadi, how he protected the Pandavas, that is Kunti's sons, another woman, helpless woman's sons. How he protected Uttara when her womb, she was a pregnant lady and her womb was being attacked by Ashwatthama, right? How Krishna came and protected her and her child in her womb. So there are many such stories of Krishna's protection that we must become convinced of. So if then you will be convinced that if you follow your dharma, Krishna is going to protect you. So it's very important to read Krishna's pastimes to understand his reciprocation of a devotee who is following the dharma laid down by Krishna very nicely. So that's why we have to read about Krishna, hear about Krishna every single day. And finally, only Krishna can protect you. Mare Krishna rakhe ke, rakhe Krishna mare ke. Right? If Krishna wants to protect you, nobody can harm you. And if Krishna wants to correct you, nobody can protect you. Right? So we don't have to go around, you know, arguing or fighting with our family members who have wronged us or doing all of these things. We just have to know that if I follow my duties nicely, Krishna is going to protect me. So we don't have to fight these individual battles to get protection. If we follow the dharma nicely, we will be protected. And of course, you know, we have to understand our own individuality also. So sometimes you have to set up boundaries with people who are envious and abusers. And you do that, but you do it in a respectful way without losing respect as a spirit soul, as a part and parcel of Krishna, even towards those abusers, because they are also part and parcel of Krishna. So this oppression was there in the past and will continue, because anyone who is not situated in a Krishna consciousness will have a negative mindset, will be oppressive, will be envious. The only way to get protection is to have faith in dharma rakshita rakshitaha. So the one who protects dharma and the one who follows dharma, dharma protects that person. And who is dharma? Krishna is dharma. Krishna will protect you. So that, please develop, please read about Krishna's pastimes. And then you will be able to develop that. So thank you very much. Next session, section 7, 8, 9, we will discuss further about these, you know, how a woman's role impacts family and community relationships and service towards other ashrams. Then the science of even cooking, meal planning, storage and preservation. So one thing about food I wanted to say when we were talking about how a woman protects a man from his lower nature. If you read in the Nectar of Instruction, in the first verse purport, so basically, the Nectar of Instruction, the first verse, talks about many things that we need to control the urges of. And one of them is the urges of the tongue. And it says, Prabhupada explains there that if you satisfy the urges of the tongue by eating prasadam, right? If you eat a diet of prasad, then the tongue is satisfied. And the tongue is in the same line as the tongue and the stomach and the genitals. So automatically, if you eat a diet of prasad, the tongue and the belly is satisfied. And then the genitals, the urges of the genitals are also under control. So by cooking prasadam, we protect the family from such kind of detrimental sexual activity. Why do I say detrimental? Because it takes you away from Krishna. A family which is pretty focused on this kind of illicit sex within husband and wife cannot make progress in spiritual life. So when we cook prasadam, it satisfies the tongue and then it also affects the urges control. It helps us in controlling the urges of the belly and the genitals. So some of these things. So just remember your power, that by being a chaste lady, how you can control, you know, the material elements will work in your favor. There will be peace in your family. Your husband will be peaceful. Your children will be peaceful. And all of you can make advancement together very nicely just by following your dharma very sincerely. So are there any discussion, any questions people would like to put forward? And just to let you know, we will cover after we finish this series of bhakti, womanhood and homemaking, We'll take a short break of 2 weeks, and then we are going to have a conference call every week discussing in detail stories of these great women personalities, their Krishna consciousness and their power, and also women from history and women from different cultures. So we will have this series on every week. We will discover and discuss the qualities of individual women so that we can also imbibe those different qualities in us. And now if some of you are working ladies, you know, you can, and not just working ladies, all of you, you know, we are all conditioned in our different ways. So you can see how you can follow some of these things in your life according to your time, place and circumstances and your own conditioning and your own consciousness and your own, you know, level of desires and things like that, you know. So we are presenting the principle here. How you apply it in your life is going to be individual to all of you. So we are here just to show the power of these principles, and we will understand more of the power of these principles as we have that separate session after this session. So no questions. So, you know, let's discuss about what are you inspired to follow, or what was new for you on hearing this, you know, this particular seminar and session, like any inspiration you have on what you want to do in your role as a woman. Any inspiration, like, you know, can you say one thing you would like to pick up? So one of you has committed to keeping the house fragrant. Okay, nice. I personally want to commit to being an inspirational energy for my husband. So by serving him properly, I want to do my part to keep his mind peaceful so that he can think about higher spiritual subject matters. He's already a very nice devotee, but I also want to serve him in this way and by cooking nice prasadam. So what about you? Hare Krishna. I have just two responses, mine and I think that is Geetika's response, keeping the house fragrant. Yes, so Garima has a nice point. Dharma will protect us if we follow it sincerely. So she's going to try to commit to Dharma, a woman's Dharma. Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, that's a one good one. Reading Bhagavad Gita as a couple. And Kanika is going to try to chant 16 rounds and follow her duty sincerely, that she now has a strong belief that Krishna is going to protect her. Very nice. Beautiful. And this reading Bhagavad Gita as a couple is a nice idea. You know, I'd heard from Harivilas Prabhu. Thank you for talking about this reading together as a couple. Once Harivilas Prabhu had shared with me that a woman can also inspire and preach to her husband in how to do his household duties nicely. And when I asked Harivilas Prabhu how a woman can do that, and he said that if you all can read the Krishna book together, especially the part of Krishna in Dwarka, where he is with his different wives and how he does all his different grihastha duties very nicely, then it will inspire the men to do their duties very nicely. So again, you know, a wife can be an inspiration of her husband, and, you know, can preach in this intelligent way so that they are also inspired to doing their duties nicely. I'm just trying to get the particular chapter for all of you. So it's in the Krishna book, chapter 69 and 70. Then you can, if you read that together, it will help even the husbands be inspired to follow their duty, because they will see that the Supreme Lord himself is following his grihastha duties so nicely. And we will be inspired by seeing how Rukmini Devi and the other queens are serving Krishna so wonderfully in the mood of a wife. Then that will be an inspiration for all of us. All right then, if we don't have much, then we will end the live stream, and I'm still available on chat for a few more minutes. So thank you very much. I'm sorry, this is like a big topic. I can't share everything in one session, but I thought I wanted to give enough so that we are inspired to perform our duties nicely, to understand the power of our duties and its impact, spiritual impact on the entire world. And also how what we do is similar to how a disciple serves the guru or a devotee serves the Lord in the temple. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.